From the Professional Disc Golf Association, this is EDGA Radio News.
It's Disc Golf News you can use for the week of October 11, 2004. I'm Brian Sullivan. Coming your way this time, we've got results from the fall finale and a preview of the year's last major event, the U.S. Disc Golf Championship in Rock Hill, South Carolina. Plus, professional disc golfer Cameron Todd talks putting basics in the 60-second clinic. And major news from the PDGA Rules Committee this week. It appears that the days of the 2-meter rule are coming to an end. We'll get the straight scoops from committee chairman Carlton Howard.
I spent most of my rules committee career defending the 2-meter rule. And a few years ago, I flip-flopped and decided, gosh, this is really just bad luck. And I've been fighting to have the rule changed to where it's not a penalty.
That is all on the way. It's sponsored this week by Discovering the World. You can discover them at dtworld.com. Also by Discraft at discraft.com.
Since 1979, Discraft has designed and manufactured tournament-quality flying discs for all disc sports. Our disc golf line is second to none. From beginners to world champion pros, disc golfers everywhere rely on the quality, consistency, and durability of every Discraft Pro Golf disc. Discraft, the world leader in disc sports.
The average disc golfer's new secret weapon is the Flash Maximum Distance Driver. Available now from Discraft and your local disc golf retailer. The big guns were in Charlotte, North Carolina last weekend for the Disc Landing Fall Finale. Results coming at you, beginning with the Masters Division, and Hans Svensson of Sweden blows into town and says, hey, let me show you local guys how it's done. He's going to beat them by 4. Stan McDaniel, Kurt Kjoe tied out for 2nd. Alan Beaver takes 4th. Now, in the Women's Division, for the 2nd week in a row, Des Redding just mops up the entire field. She's going to win this one by 18 over last year's Pro Rookie of the Year, Mandy Snodgrass. Libby Gillette takes 3rd, and former world champ Vanessa Chambers in 4th. And in the Open Division, local guy Michael Johansson going into the final 9 is leading this by a stroke. Brian Schweberger hot on his heels. But during the final 9, Barry Schultz said, hey, you got to make room for the world champ. And boom, he's gone. He's a winner. He's going to win it by 1. Johansson and Schweberger, 2nd place Steve Brinster takes 4th. Tournament director Warren Stiles had this to say about Hans Svensson's victory in the Masters.
Actually played great golf. I mean, he beat Stan at his own course. You know, that takes some play. Kurt Kjoe and Alan Beaver are no slouches either.
Time once again for the 60-second clinic. Now, you can never go wrong asking advice from a former world champion. And our guest this week is not only a former world champion, he's also considered by many, including this announcer, to be the world's greatest putter. He's 2001 world champ Cameron Todd. And our question to you, Cameron Todd, is this. My putting sucks. What do you recommend?
First of all, don't ever say you suck. You have to believe, because that is the key to all success. Second of all, we can put mechanics into perspective and try to take out some of the glitches that beginners have. Mainly, you want the disc to go from point A to point B with as little deviation from its flight path as possible. So anytime your arm goes toward the basket, but then it decides to go up, down, sideways, spin your hand, is all wrong. You want to be very calm, confident, hold the disc, make your whole body go toward the basket with as little motion as possible.
The occasionally contentious Cameron Todd is the 2001 Disc Golf World Champion. Now, we say occasionally contentious because you may have heard a rumor or two that Mr. Todd has been under investigation by the PDGA Disciplinary Committee. You may have heard many other things, half of which, at least, are probably not true. So, in the interests of you, our listener, next week, we'll present to you the full story behind Cameron Todd and the PDGA Disciplinary Committee. And you're listening to PDGA Radio News.
Disc golfing should be inexpensive and fun. Discovering the World wants nothing more than to help you have fun. They offer a wide variety of disc golf and PDGA products. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Order ship within 24 hours, and there's a retail location open 7 days a week to deal with you personally. Call 714-522-2202 or visit dtworld.com to see the full selection available now from Discovering the World.
Hi, this is Brad Hammock, and you're listening to PDGA Radio News, baby. Loving it.
In the big picture this week, some disc golfers will be dancing in the streets, while others will be cursing, perhaps quite loudly. Why? Well, it appears that the days of the two-meter rule are coming to an end. Now, here's the hypothetical. You throw your shot, it hits a tree, bing, bang, bang, comes out, lands on the ground, fine. You get to play right from the spot where the disc comes to rest. However, your buddy throws into the same tree, hits the same spot, but he gets stuck 6.5 feet above the ground. He must take a penalty stroke, or at least he used to. The 2-meter rule has been a bone of contention among the disc golf community for many, many years. Now it looks like it's on its way out. We got the scoops from PDGA Rules Committee Chairman Carlton Howard.
I'm Carlton Howard. I'm currently chairman of the PDGA Rules Committee.
And Carlton, give me a history of the Rules Committee and your spot on it.
Well, I've been playing a long time. Started golfing in 77 and playing tournaments in 1980. And the first real big-time PDGA I went to was probably a regional championship in Manassas, Virginia, at Bull Run, run by Michael Conger. It was a qualifier for the old WAMA World Championships. And I actually got an invitation to be one of the officials. And I said, well, I'll rules official for golf. And I said, well, I'll take that job if I can compete, too. And, of course, that permission was given. I didn't play very well at that event, so I was able to officiate for the final round. And once I agreed to be an official, I said, hey, could anybody send me a copy of the rules? And they did, and I read them, and I said, gosh, these sure could be better. And so I contacted let the PDGA know, who let the current rules committee know, and I started communicating to them, sending letters, et cetera. And before long, an invitation was extended for me to join the rules committee.
And that was what year?
I think I joined about 1984, maybe 85. Tim Guybe, originally from Louisville, Kentucky, but he was in Atlanta, Georgia at that time, was chairman of the committee. And that's when I joined. And I think when Tim stepped down, he recommended to the board that I be chairman. And lo and behold, that happened. And I think I've been chairman ever since.
So you are intimately familiar with each and every part of the current PDGA rules?
Yes, Brian, I am. I've been probably too familiar because, we read them and reread them constantly. And I'm infinitely familiar with most of all the old rules. Of course, the problem I have is which rule's current, because I've got so many of them in my head. So one thing I do, and I recommend everybody do this, is never make a rule, and I don't care how simple, without pulling your rule book out and reading it. Because even arguably I know the rules as well as anybody, but I can make a misruling easily if I try to do it off the top of my head. So the number one thing when you're dealing with the rules is first read them, carry a copy in your golf bag, but also if you have to make a ruling, pull the rule book out and actually take the time to read it to make sure you get the ruling right.
Well, let's get to the big hefty story coming out of the Rules Committee this week, and that has to do with the 2-meter rule. First of all, define for me what the 2-meter rule is.
Well, the 2-meter rule has been around since the onset of disc golf, and it's basically a penalty situation where if your disc gets suspended above ground, generally in a tree or a bush, although a building, a roof of a building could be higher than 2 meters, it's a penalty. And you get a drop from directly below where the disc is suspended, and you take a one-throw penalty, and then you play from your new spot and complete the hole. So that's basically the 2-meter rule.
And that is about to change.
It's been a bone of contention for a long time, and I think players are pretty evenly split over loving the rule or hating it. And for years, I've spent most of my Rules Committee career defending the 2-meter rule. And a few years ago, I flip-flopped and decided, gosh, this is really just bad luck, and I've been trying to fighting to have the rule changed to where it's not a penalty. But the board tendered that suggestion to the board. When last draft was submitted, the board said, we like where you're thinking, we like the idea, but it was a little too controversial to cram in at this late date, so let's study it some more and go forward. So we've been doing that, and I think the board this time has given us the green light to remove the 2-meter penalty, but also have the option in the rules where the TD or course director, if they'd like, can have the penalty apply. So it's a use it if you want it and lose it if you don't situation, which I think is kind of the best of both worlds. TDs that love the 2-meter rule can still have it, and TDs that don't like it cannot have the 2-meter rule. And I believe, maybe a scoop for you, but I believe next week at the USDGC will be the first tournament where they experiment with no penalty for 2 meters.
So then this rule, in effect, is now gone. Is that correct?
That is not correct. The rules that we're currently playing under, the two-meter rule is a penalty. The officials and the tournament director with USDGC have applied to the competition director for a waiver from that particular PDGA rule, the two-meter penalty. And as I understand it, we'll be playing next week without the penalty of getting stuck in a tree or a bush above 6 feet, 6 inches high being a penalty. So we'll get to test run it in a high-visibility stage, if you will, and see how people like it.
And when will it then become official?
It will become official if we can craft a rule that's palatable to the board and of course, to the rest of the committee. Any rule that we're considering changing goes through quite a bit of debate in the committee itself, and then we have a vote and, of course, majority rules. So, if you can't build a majority for a rule change, then we leave the existing rule as is. With one exception, that is the board has the power to do what they want. So, some of the rules that you may wind up seeing are could be board-driven that the committee could even disagree with.
Now, let's go back a little bit, Carlton. You had said that for years you defended the two-meter rule. Then you came out against it, saying that, as you saw it, it was essentially being penalized for bad luck. So why were you defending it for so many years?
Well, obviously there's a lot of people that think it's a bad rule. And as chairman of the Rules Committee, you get the joy or the burden, however you look at it, of defending why is this a penalty. And one of the main avenues of attack on the two-meter rule is, gosh, that's an arbitrary height. Why 2 meters? Why isn't anything suspended a penalty? Well, you can have grass thick enough where your shot could be suspended off the ground a couple of inches, and surely we don't want, that to be a penalty, right? So there's a reason for the alleged arbitrariness of the 6 feet, 6 inches, if you will, doing a loose translation. From an environmental standpoint, protecting trees is a very obvious and genuine goal, and I would surmise that 2 meters is probably a height that almost anybody playing could reach up and comfortably pull their disc out of the tree without climbing up in the tree. So from an arbitrary standpoint, that makes it less arbitrary. 2 meters high, almost everybody can reach. So for years I've said, hey, it's not arbitrary. It's a height most people can reach, and anything above that would be a penalty. Now, in terms of me flip-flopping, I live in North Carolina, probably the greatest state in the union to play disc golf. And, of course, it's very wooded and a lot of tight courses. And so over my career, I've seen hundreds, if not thousands, of discs get stuck in trees. And most of the time, it's just bad luck, lumped on top of an already bad shot. So I think any time you have the opportunity to remove luck from a game of skill, you should take that opportunity. Stated differently, I see players all the time going to great lengths to plan their shot and their whole completion strategy so they don't throw near OB or they don't go in OB or they don't throw over OB, but almost never see players try to keep their shots below 2 meters. So I think most folks just fire away, hope they don't get stuck, and most times, almost any tree but a cedar tree or a cypress tree, some relatively Velcro disc-grabbing trees, almost any tree, majority of discs you throw into it aren't going to stick. So, all physics aside, mostly it's just bad luck. Most shots that you throw into OB stay in OB. Most shots that you throw into a tree don't stay in a tree. So from a luck perspective, I think there's a potential for improvement there. Now, on the other side of the coin, in ball golf, you can climb up in a tree and hit it out. You can shake it down. If our elder sister doesn't think that it's necessarily a penalty, that's worth studying. I don't think we should mimic everything that ball golf or traditional golf does, if you will, but certainly think we can learn from them and pick and choose that which best fits our environment.
Like most positions in disc golf, yours is volunteer, you and your committee. Can you give us an idea of who is on the committee and how the committee operates?
Sure. I got a very talented committee right now. Harold Duval is on the committee, a former world champion. I've got Conrad Damon and Joe Garcia. Conrad is just an excellent thinker. Not that Harold isn't, but Conrad is an excellent thinker, and he is quite a grammaticist, if you will. So he is really good at I'm rather wordy, if you haven't noticed, and Conrad's good at paring down stuff I might write. Joe Garcia is a real workhorse. He does our officials grading. He brings a unique viewpoint to the committee with a very heavy scientific and physics-based background, and a very articulate fellow as well, excellent thinker. Of course, I've got Dr. Rick Vokes out of Kentucky, you know, top-ranked player, miracle man in terms of his age and what he can do on the disc golf course. Obviously, medical doctor, he's a great thinker. And I got a lot of good real-world experience, both in the medical field and in the disc golf field. And John Chapman, out of the Midwest, out of the Kansas City, Missouri area, you know, hotbed for disc golf. John brings an officials background. He's done high school football and basketball for a long time, I believe, so he's got a great knowledge of how other sports resolve rule situations. And he's a heck of a thinker and a good writer. You know, all these individuals are very thoughtful. They're very concerned about what's best for the sport. They also have an eye for the future and an ear and a heart for the history of the sport. So when you bring all this group together, you know, I think there's some powerful synergies that develop. We certainly disagree vehemently. I mean, you know, Joe Garcia, you jump through the radio, the speakers on his computer right now, strangle me over the 2 meter rule because he and I are completely opposite ends of the scale. But you know, Joe's a great guy, and I really respect his opinion. I just think he's wrong on the 2 meter rule. And I'm sure he'll tell you the same thing. He said Carlton's way off base on that thing being luck. But that's what I want. I don't want people that agree. I want people that argue because that really tests your decisions. And you know, if you can't win the debate in the committee, how are you going to defend the rule when you talk to the general player in PDGA land? Because let's face it, you know, we got a bunch of great folks out there playing, and they deserve the best rules we can deliver. And so that's what we're trying to do.
Carlton Howard, I want to thank you for your time today, for all of the hard work that you and your committee have been putting in, and, of course, for your years of service in PDGA.
Well, thanks a lot, Brian. It's been great, and thanks for checking in with us.
Carlton Howard is the longtime chairman of the PDGA Rules Committee. We reached him at his office in Raleigh, North Carolina. Coming up, we'll preview this year's U.S. Disc Golf Championship. In terms of sheer numbers, you can't beat the 2004 Disc Golf World Championships, over 900 players there. However, in terms of pure spectacle and disc golf joy, it's tough to beat the U.S. Disc Golf Championship. It happens every year at Winthrop University in Rock Hill, South Carolina. To find out more about this year's competition, we talked with Paul Berge. He's the USDGC's staff and volunteer coordinator.
Well, the USDGC started in 99, and it has been full force since then. It actually came from Jonathan Poole and Harold Duvall. After the 97 Worlds, they kind of planned for a couple years, and the first event kicked off in 99. There's only been two champions of the United States Disc Golf Championship, and that's been Ken Climo and Barry Scholes. Barry will actually be shooting for number three, and Kenny has gotten three already.
Now, this course, especially when set up for this event, is notorious around the world. Tell me a little bit about the course there in Rock Hill.
Well, the first thing, Rock Hill, with the Winthrop course, it's probably the most beautiful park in the county. It's set on the nice Winthrop Farm Lake. It's just a nice flat area, which what we did was actually add some OB with nice little water in play, kind of made it challenging. We spread it out. It's actually over 10,000 feet. The par this year, 68. Well, last year, the lowest round was a 56, and that was turned in by Barry Scholes, and also Brad Hammack shot a 56 as well. I think that score is going to be a little bit tough to get this year. It's going to be a little bit harder. The forecast, we're going to have a little bit of rain probably tomorrow, Wednesday, but we should be good to go. It's going to be around the 70s for Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It should be beautiful.
Paul Berge is the staff and volunteer coordinator for this year's U.S. Disc Golf Championship in Rock Hill, South Carolina. He spoke to us from his cell phone at the host hotel. Now, if you're a pro and you're not at the USDGCs, you are really missing the boat. However, there are some other things going on this weekend, October 16th and 17th. They include the Citadel Open in Belgium and in Austin, Texas. It's the Waterloo Disc Golf Classic, 27 years for that event. Woo, baby.
In Florida, it's Florida State Disc Golf Championships in Rockledge and Melbourne. In California, check out the Full Sails Bay Series. And in Virginia, it's the Mountain Jam, another Virginia event, the Bluemont Fall Pro-Am in Arlington, and the Hickory Run Hoot in Whitehaven, Pennsylvania. Those are just some of the events happening this weekend. Check the full list 24/7 at, well, where else? PDGA.com.
And finally, this week, we've got some fresh tour stats. Let's roll down the current tour points leaders as of October 8th. For the pros, we've got a new leader in the Open Division. He is Brian Schweberger, with a total of 9,550 touring points. For the women, it's Carrie Burlogger. Ron Russell leads the male Masters, while Elaine King leads the women Masters. Rick Vokes, Sylvia Vokes, and Peter Shive all leading in their respective pro divisions. To the Ams, it's Jeff Hahn, Monica Livingston, Bruce Brakel, Rhonda Ritter, Morty Finkel, and Tony Hoyman. And for the juniors, your leaders are Jamie Moser, Matt Hall, Coral Sauls, and Valerie Miller. And that is the Disc Golf News for the week of October 11th. For the PDGA, I'm Brian Sullivan. Please visit our sponsors. They are Discovering the World at DTWorld.com, also Discraft at Discraft.com. It is a beautiful autumn. Get out there, huck some plastic, stay out of the shul, and keep them in the fairway.